The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, a Tampa tradition for 61 years. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com.
I mean, when Buck fans start hearing that, why wouldn't they think this team could go 16-0, 17-0? I mean, I know it sounds crazy. I don't need this. How many times do I got to slap you around for that? I can't have that. This ain't Philip Rivers. This is the best team in football.
You are darn right, Ira, and another superior team is at Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call. Florida's Elite Restoration, when you have a flood in your home or you find mold or wind damage or you've got a fire, whatever it might be, they are your first phone call to get a free assessment of what's happening in your home, your treasured asset, your home. Don't mess around. Call them first before you call your insurance company. They will make sure that you don't get ripped off. They will guide you. They can fix things for you. They are experts in the process with experience within the insurance industry to know both sides. And that's who you call first 24/7. They'll give you a free assessment at your house, at your home, floridaselite restoration.com. Learn about them there, floridaselite restoration.com. Put it in your phone. If you have a problem, that's where you go. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. Yay, yay, yeah. Buccaneers fans, training camp week is here. The Bucs have been to the White House. The rings are on the fingers just about anyway. And the Ira Kaufman Podcast rolls on. The season is here, Ira. I'm calling it. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucsFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucsFan is here. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton is in the house. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. Serious now, Ira, 61 years. 61 years serving Tampa, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan, he's jacked up for football season, but he's always pumped up every minute to assist Bucs fans in whatever they need in getting a vehicle, a brand new F-150, a used vehicle, getting out of a lease, body work, service department, whatever it might be. Bill Curry Ford is top shelf, and Sean Sullivan is your friend in the car business, your best friend, your wonderful cousin. He's going to give you that Ira Kaufman discount. He's going to take care of you, and that's what he does. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, you got your gloves on. You got your gloves off. You're swinging. You're fired up. How are you, buddy?
I am refreshed. I am pumped. I am primed. Just landed with Mr. DeKemper last night from Vegas. I was coming from California. DeKemper was coming from Vegas. We met in McCarran Airport. And let me start this podcast on this note. If anybody's listening from Vegas, get yourselves a new airport. That place stinks. That place sucks. The food, I don't need slot machines while I'm going to gate 19. My wife dropped $40 between gates. I don't need this, people. And I guess we're a little spoiled by Tampa Airport. It's fabulous. It's fantastic. Lee and I touched down about 2 o'clock in the morning last night. But you know what? My passion remains undiminished. I think, gentlemen, and Lee, I know it doesn't take much for you to correct me. I don't think Buck fans have ever been more geeked up about a season, because a year ago, they didn't know that Brady could lead them to a Super Bowl. And now they do. And now they know everything about Brady. And so do you. You're a total believer.
Yeah.
You weren't always. This is the most enthusiastic Buck Nation has ever been. And this franchise has been around for about 45 years.
I don't know that. It sure seems like there was a lot more buzz, for lack of a better term, after the first Super Bowl win. And I could be dead wrong about that. Maybe it's just the changing media landscape. I don't know. I don't know how to put a finger on it. I don't get, maybe because I'm not, living in the middle of St. Petersburg any longer. I'm not getting that same buzz like after the first Super Bowl win.
Wait another week.
I'm not saying fans are not enthused. I just don't get the same vibe. I could be dead wrong. I can only say from my perspective.
I think it'll change, Steve, once camp opens. But, Steve, we got to hasten to add, you know, the die-in-the-wool Buck fan will be shut out of training camp. And we're not happy about that, Steve.
Bucks are the only team, and unfortunately, the same year they're defending Super Bowl champions, they are the only team thus far, so there's still time to change, thus far with zero open practices for fans. I mean, for the general public, not for season ticket holders or a specialty group. I just find that depressing.
Still time to correct it. And Ira, you know what? I'm going to throw it back to you. If you feel that strongly, write a freaking column. Say it's unacceptable. Scream it out loud. And before you do it, call the fellas at the Bucks and make sure that the next day they weren't planning a big announcement. But let it rip, Ira. Let it rip if that's how you feel. But I am feeling the buzz, Ira. Lots of buzz. But I think one thing that's tempering it, in all seriousness, is so many of the diehard Bucks fans are also huge fans of the Lightning and the Rays. And these are such special, special times.
Yeah.
For those teams that, you know, it's a factor. It's hard not to get swept up a little bit. And shit, today's Rays game with that comeback, I was bouncing out of my own seat. You know, I wasn't thinking about the Bucks for 2 hours.
That's a fair point, Steve. But, you know, once America's team comes rolling in, Raymond James, in 6 weeks, I think that's all going to change.
Oh, I think
it's all going to change.
I think it all changes the minute the first preseason game comes on. I mean, people are going to be going bananas, tuning in the Bucks, and of course, you know, the hype starts in huge way. The Bucks training camp first practice is Sunday, but most of the league doesn't have practice until I think Tuesday. So they're going to get that extra spotlight once again for a few days, and you know, excited, Ira, very excited.
You know, Lee, here's a point I don't think's been made strongly enough. So let's make it right now. This is the best team in football, Mr. DeKemper, top to bottom. And
repeat that so everybody gets to soak it in.
This is the best team in football. And all these teams, the competitors, they're not falling by the wayside, but they're having problems, Lee. And the Bucks are not. For example, you got the Aaron Rodgers debacle. I think he's going to play for the Packers. But he's not a happy camper, Lee. He's not. Packers, that's a big injury for the Rams. That's
major. Major.
He was gonna be their bell cow back. They got another guy, but Akers came on very strong. We know what's going on in New Orleans. Some people are now reporting Taysom Hill's ahead of Winston, as hard as that is to believe.
good.
And the Chiefs, Randy Clark, you know, they got two pass rushers. Clark's one of them. The guy might get cut. He's such a knucklehead. And he's facing some criminal charges. People are having major issues. Meanwhile, the Bucks look like Queen Mary going through calm waters here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, Ira. You're exactly right. To me, the two biggest competitors to the Bucks. I don't care who's starting a quarterback for the Saints. I don't think the Saints are better than the Bucks. Let's get that out of the way. And I hope Sean Payton's ego overcomes them and he does start Taysom Hill. Please do so. Please. I want to see the Saints go 6-13. Please. Or, so please.
6-11. 6-11, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, you're the math guy. And, of course, the drama with the Packers. You know what? If I was a Packers player, I wouldn't be able to hold it in much longer. I would go on ESPN, Fox, you name it, and I said, look, man, quit playing games. You're either with us or you're not. Aaron, either show up tomorrow or stay the hell away. Whatever you do, I don't care. It's time to crap or get off the pot. And I just think what Rodgers is doing is utterly ridiculous, not so much to the organization, but to his teammates. To his teammates. I think he's crapping all over them. And I just think that's just a load. Then, of course, you brought up Akers. Akers, the way he played the latter part of the season, he looked like he was a Pro Bowler.
Huge playoff game.
That's a big-time boast. To me, it was the Rams and the Packers who are standing in front of the Bucks, if they even stand in front of the Bucks. They're the only obstacles that I foresee between the Bucks returning to the Super Bowl or not. And so two of them, they already have issues, one of which is their head case quarterback, and the other one, obviously, is their stud running backs. You know, training camps haven't started yet, and already things are looking good for the Bucks.
You know, Steve, all these other teams are having all these issues, all of them. either players coming back from injury, Dak Prescott, or some others. And here come the Bucks. You know, Brady got his knee taken care of. No matter the severity, he's ready to go. The fact that there's been no hiccups in his Buck off season, then they end up, you know, adding a running back, Giovanni Bernard, who Lee DeKemper believes should never catch a pass or carry the ball because they should throw 28-yard passes every time. Lee, I'll say this. If Bernard can get two or three first downs per game, you know, and have 40 first downs for the season, that's going to help, Lee. It's going to help. It sustains.
That tells me there's an injury.
Well, it sustains drives and it lets Brady, you know, do his thing and keeps the defense off the field a little bit. Speaking of defense, Steve, I think this defense could be scary. I know Lee's been saying that. I think Lee's got a point. Lee's big on Vita Vea impact. And I you know what? I kind of agree with DeKemper on that.
I hear you, Ira. Look, I can't let it go. I'm upset. I'm upset that Taysom Hill is winning the job because I think he's the better quarterback. I want Jameis in there giving the ball away. I want him giving the ball away 30 times a year. I want him to start the season and then have there be some drama. Then he gets yanked and Hill's not ready. I don't want Hill in there right away. You realize he in three of his four starts last year, he completed better than 73% of the passes. He didn't throw picks. He ran for four touchdowns and four starts. I mean, he's dangerous. I don't want that guy in there. Jameis, let him. He's dangerous. He's good for the opponent. That's what I want. How about that?
Listening to this diatribe, DeKemper, Lee DeKemper, the man who said that Jameis Winston led the NFL in passing in 2019. How many times do I got to slap you around for that, DeKemper?
How many times do I have to show you black and white facts, Ira?
Your man Isbitz wants Taysom Hill benched in favor of Winston because Isbitz is a Buck fan. How does that make you feel?
I'm a Buck fan, and I hope they start Taysom Hill because I think he's a brutal quarterback.
I'm glad you boys don't always see eye to eye. I'm glad. That's good.
Well,
that's good.
I don't know what's going to happen there, Ira, but it's fun to talk about, fun to think about. Of course, it's more fun if it's Jameis against the Bucks. But, you know, whatever. It's something to keep track of in the division as Atlanta and Carolina aren't very good, although Atlanta's going to put up some points like they always do, and that's why they're so dangerous. Sage, let me tell you this. One thing, it was really quite a tribute, Ira, and mainly because of the way he said it, and of course I'm talking about Tom Brady. Tom Brady was on with Jim Gray, his old buddy in the broadcasting, on Wednesday night, a pre-taped town hall style interview on Sirius Mad Dog Radio. And of course, it really wasn't town hall at all. It was Gray asking him questions. And then at the end, they said, let's get to two fan questions, Tom. And that was it. So it really wasn't any kind of town hall or anything. But hey, it sounded nice for the marketing. But Brady got very serious and he talked about, quote, what B.A. has really taught me and how he's been a mentor. And the tone and the way it was, Ira, just it was pretty telling. And, you know, Brady has said previously, I never played for an offensive coach, but just the way he said that was really, really something.
You know, it really does go to the point, which I believe is legitimate. And as the months go by, Lee, we see more and more evidence that it is legitimate that there was a problem between Brady and Belichick. There was a problem. And I think it cut both ways because I don't think Belichick was particularly happy with the Brady of 2019, which I think is unfair, Lee. Gronkowski was retired. Brady had no targets. The offense stunk. And I think Brady alone kept them afloat. I mean, that was probably a 6-10 team in 2019. And I don't think Belichick gave Brady enough credit. And I still think Brady was waiting to hear something positive from his head coach after helping him to six Super Bowls. And he never got it. And I think this thing with Arians was a breath of fresh air. I think that was a big reason Brady came to the Bucs, besides the fact that he liked the talent. Sure, he liked the talent. Who wouldn't? Who doesn't like Mike Evans and Godwin and a good chance to get Gronkowski back on the playing field? But believe me, Arians was a big factor in the luring of Tom Brady. And by the way, Lee, and you're hearing the same stuff I am. You know, this nonsense about Sean Payton was pursuing Brady, and he, you know, he almost had him. And I don't believe any of that stuff. I think the Bucs acted very aggressively. I think they were the first team in. No, how can you beat the Bucs being in when Arians said it in February? Lee, he didn't wait till free agency. And they never stopped. I believe Arians / Light were relentless in their pursuit of Brady. And in this case, I believe the information in terms of the Bucs were in the driver's seat from day one. And I don't think they ever let up. And I really don't think Brady seriously considered another franchise. I really don't.
I don't know what to believe with all that, because Brady is not forthcoming. Even he admits that he's not forthcoming.
He finally admitted he lost track of downs, the Kemper. We finally got that out.
That couldn't be disproven. I mean, that was on national television. He had to confess about that finally. But are we really to believe that Sean Payton was going to dump Drew Brees for Tom Brady?
No.
That's why I don't believe that story about the Saints being involved. Brand new offense, just like the Bucs, brand new team, brand new quarterback. I don't think Sean Payton wanted to do that at all.
Lee, I think what Brady said to Jim Gray also amplifies the theory that I believe now Arians and Brady are linked arm in arm. That doesn't mean if, you know, Arians, for whatever reason, has to, you know, go on hiatus, that doesn't mean Brady's going to quit on the spot. Doesn't mean that. But I certainly, I don't see Arians coaching past the Brady years in Tampa.
I don't either.
I think Brady will call it a day at the end of 2022. I do. And I think Giselle will play a factor in that. And I think that'll be it for Arians, too.
Well, you did hear what Brady's trainer said recently, didn't you?
What'd he say, Lee?
Brady's going to play two more years.
Past this season? Two more after this?
To include this year.
Yeah. And Brady reinforced that with Jim Gray, that his whole thing of playing, you know, through age 45 and playing at 45. And so he you know, didn't go beyond that. He said, I'll see how I feel. And, you know, see where everything is in my life. But you really got the feeling that, yeah, Brady really is committed for two more years, and that's where they are. He did talk about moving, something we reported at Joe Bucs Fan, that he left Jeter's house. And, you know, we know that he's actually in
Davis Island.
He's still in Davis Islands and, you know, just enjoying life. But he did talk about, Ira, how much he loves it here in Florida, how he mentioned how the Glazer family has really embraced him. And that they've just been so great. And, I mean, heck, I can imagine, why wouldn't they just do whatever they can to keep Tom Brady? I mean, it's the golden goose for the organization. And seeing the Glazers, all of them, at the White House the other day, I mean, gosh, these guys are happier than they've ever been. You almost don't recognize them. They can't stop smiling. And usually they're a little bit more serious, Ira. But we'll get to the White House chatter a little bit later. Brady did say, he was very specific. He was asked about, you know, last season and you know, of course, Bucs fans, Ira, as we were talking about before, they're all jacked up for a big start, you know, crushing the Cowboys and moving on from there. Brady talked about, he said, quote, I literally didn't know where to sit on the bench on opening day last year. And he said, I didn't know how the cadence of plays are called. You know, and he said, you know, didn't really know what, you know, how Byron Leftwich, you know, just sort of barks the plays out in a game, you know, that familiarity. He said, you don't want to think about that. You just want to hear it. And he said, you know, I didn't know how the week of practice even worked leading up to a game, how it's done with Bruce Arians. Every coach has different game weeks. So he just named a lot of different little things that make him a lot more comfortable. And like Lee's written about and mentioned Clyde Christensen saying, Brady said the same thing, that he said they even felt like, they left a lot of points on the field in every playoff game, and that they're not a finished product. And he thinks the whole offense really believes that they can get so, so much better. And he said that's not the case every year.
You know, it kind of begs the question, if Brady had a terrible first quarter of the season, instead they're 3-1. Second quarter of the season, instead they're 3-1. And the third quarter was his so-called downfall, even though they bounced back. But, Lee, I think you could also argue the competition got a lot tougher in the third quarter.
Oh, sure.
Obviously New Orleans, but it was a home game. It was a debacle. Rams game and Chiefs game, close losses. Two of the better teams in the league. And with the Saints, that's three of the better teams in the league out of four. That was his quarter to struggle, was the third quarter, where you would think it would be more towards the first 6 weeks of the season. But they played some patsies. They did, you know, Carolina, some other teams that they whooped up on pretty good. Raiders. Sorry, Chucky. Raiders, you're not very good. But Lee, the way they played the last 8 weeks, you know, for Buck fans to hear Brady say we left a lot of points on the field, and of course you remember that Todd Bowles told me a couple of months ago, we've only scratched the surface on defense. I mean, when Buck fans start hearing that, why wouldn't they think this team could go 17-0? I mean, I know it sounds crazy. It's absolutely crazy. 2 years ago, we're talking about 12 years in a row without a playoff, and now we're talking about a perfect season. There's no way in the world that ain't on Brady's mind. There ain't no way. No way.
Oh, shoot. It wasn't that long ago. 7 wins. You think the Bucks would be on to something. You know? That's bad. Holy cow. Now we're talking undefeated. It really is a surreal world. You have to think that's squarely on Brady's mind, though he won't talk about it. I get that. But, you know, the famous line Giselle had after the Super Bowl, she embraces right. Brady on the field. What more do you have left to prove? Well, yep. There's only one more thing he has left to prove, an undefeated season.
And he's still pissed off about the 07 season, Steve. He's still mad, and he didn't play particularly well in that Super Bowl, and the Giants had a very good defense, and they won it with that defense. And how did they do it? They put pressure on Brady. Steve, speaking of Brady, here's another reason I'm all jacked up at this stage, right here in the late stages of July. Steve, the restrictions, some of them, will be lifted for training camp in terms of the media. I'm fully vaccinated, as are you two gentlemen. I'm proud of you. And thus, we will be entitled to float around the facility. I don't think we can get in the facility necessarily, but we'll be around. And, Steve, here's my chance, after a year and a half, to actually meet Tom Brady in person. It might be in a big scrum or whatever, but the sage has not met the goat, Mr. Isbitz, and that's a problem.
All right, Ira. Hey, you know, I was just thinking, Brady's 7-3 in Super Bowls. That's 7 wins. That's more than Taysom Hill has in his career. I love this season so much. Hey, you mentioned leaving points on the field, Ira, and Brady himself noted that he's talked to Jim Gray. He's like, you know what? I know it's cheesy to say that, and it feels like I'm taken away from the other team, but damn it, we really did leave points on the field, and you know, and he went on from there. But you know, you could tell he really felt a little bit uncomfortable, but he really believes that he's loaded with this offense, and he should be, Ira. And we hope to be loaded with Big Storm beer all season long. The Sage will be watching road games at Big Storm. Clearwater, flagship location, beautiful outdoor seating, 3,300 square feet, and the indoor tap room, and Ira's favorite bartenders, who you've seen on Twitter that just love Ira to death. They're going to be so happy to see you, Ira. It's unbelievable. And
we'll probably do it without masks, Steve, hopefully. Hopefully.
Well, I've never seen anyone drink beer with a mask on, Ira, so that wasn't exactly going on last year. But plenty of food, plenty of fun, and sure, a lot more relaxed this year than the pre-vaccine watch parties, that's for sure.
I told Steve, I told my wife that you and DeKemper want me to bring Cosmo out to Big Storm. How you are always mentioning, all these pets are coming out there, they're so well-behaved. And my wife said, are you nuts? Pesmo will be jumping all over the Kemper. We can't allow that. Scratching them all up. I got a lawsuit on my hands. These other people bring their dogs out late. They sit very quietly down at their feet. They're very benign. I got a year and a half old Boston Terrier, the Kemper. He'll be on top of the table. I can't have that.
Well, I did. Speaking of dogs in Big Storm, I saw this photo. Someone went to a bar that welcomed dogs, as does Big Storm. But this wasn't Big Storm. They went to this bar, and they asked the bartender if they stocked Big Storm beer, and the bartender said no, and the dog almost bit the bartender. People don't need to go through that hassle. Just go to the Big Storm tap rooms, Clearwater, Odessa, downtown Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, and coming soon, Ybor City. That's where you go for your Big Storm beer.
It's only dogs at the Clearwater location, so don't bring your dog to Odessa. Don't do that.
Okay.
But, of course, BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can find Florida's best craft beer. And after you check out all the beers, there you can find out where you can buy it. In your neighborhood, Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage, looking forward to a post-training camp Bromosa with you. The gorgeous Tangerine IPA. Couple of things here, Sage. I got to at least explain... let our listeners know what we were able to learn or glean at the White House. I did have the privilege to go there in this scenario. Thank you to the Bucks for giving me a phone call saying you want to...
Well done, Isbits. Well done.
It was very nice of them to reach out and say, hey, Joe, we need you out there. We need you. Glazers were very accommodating, but it was kind of funny, Ira. There were a couple of things going on there that were of note. Unlike some of these other Bucks events, you know, the White House, they're in charge, and nobody else really seemed to know exactly what was going to happen next, you know, as far as timetables and protocols and stuff. But a couple of scene-setter kind of things, Ira. Todd Bowles, I mean, the guy couldn't have looked happier. He looks like he put on a little bit of weight in the off-season, and he was wearing a suit. He was saying he was open casket to clean. And he was just fired up, really joking around with a lot of the guys, mingling with the players, and looking like the Todd Bowles we don't see at the podium. There were no drinks to be served that I could see, so and no food either, other than water and stuff. So it wasn't like this was going on. The Bucks flew out first thing in the morning. I was told about it left about 6 a.m. from Tampa, so it wasn't a party kind of scene. Everybody was dressed in their finest. I'm not sure what Rojo was wearing, but people have seen the photos around. But Ira, I will say this, and I'm not knocking the guy. I don't know what was going on, but I can't just pretend I didn't see it. Bruce Arians, he didn't look his best, Ira. He didn't look like a super healthy, vibrant guy, and it was kind of noticeable. You know, I don't know if he wasn't feeling well. For all I know, he had something to do and, you know, was on 3 hours of sleep with a 6 o'clock flight or something like that. I don't know, but he didn't look like the Bruce Arians we've seen before. I brought it up to a couple of people. Nobody disagreed. So I hope it was just a bad day for Bruce, because one thing that could derail this season is if Arians had a problem like he's had in past years in Arizona. Nobody's wishing it. Nobody's thinking it. But I can't not mention it, Ira. It was a little bit disconcerting as somebody who is a Bucks fan and wants to see everybody all fired up and raring to go healthy through the season. By contrast, Ira, Tom Moore was wearing a suit, and the White House, you know, the military band is out there. Tom Moore literally spent a lot of time standing right in front of the band, backwards, right behind the conductor, right next to him, and as if the music wasn't even playing. Like they're blasting music, and he's just standing there. You know, it was quite funny. I don't know if he had his hearing aids out or something, but it was quite a spectacle.
He's one of the great characters. I really enjoy talking to him. Of course, do a lot of Hall of Fame stuff, and we talk a lot about guys that aren't in the Hall that deserve to be. And, you know, Moore's kind of an authority. He's been around maybe even longer than I have, Steve. As far as Arians, I think I speak for all three of us. We're hoping he just, you know, Bruce just had a bad day. An off day, it happens. I've had him. Arians and I are kind of the same age. I've had him, so I think he'll bounce back. We'll take a look at him. I believe we're all going out to the first day of camp on Sunday. Steve, one more thing I want to mention about Brady. I think it's worth mentioning. Every time I think about the 0-3 Bucks and how they really dropped the ball, 7-9. I mean, it's one thing if you go 9-7 and just miss a playoff as the defending champs. But, you know, Lee, they had a bad year. They had a bad year. They probably never got over that debacle against the Colts Monday Night Football. You know, 7-9 for a defending Super Bowl champ, I mean, you know, that sucks. And it all went downhill from there because the next year was even worse. I believe it was 5-11 in 04. So, Lee, when I think about this team and the chance to repeat with everybody coming after you, and it's everybody's big game of the year, they're all looking to knock off the champ. Lee, I keep coming back to Brady, and, you know, maybe some fans out there think we talk about Brady too much. I don't think that's possible. I really don't. We write about Brady. We talk about Brady. I mean, this ain't Phillip Rivers. And Phillip Rivers is a borderline Hall of Fame player, Lee. This ain't Phillip Rivers. And the Bucs don't win the Super Bowl with Phillip Rivers. You know it and I know it. This is a guy unlike anybody else. They've been playing this game for 100 years, Lee. We ain't never seen anybody like this guy. So it's not luck and, you know, it's not coincidence. And, Lee, with all due respect to Brad Johnson, Lee, who wasn't bad, he was a pretty good quarterback. He had a very good season in 02, and he had a nice career. But he's not Tom Brady, Lee.
No, no.
And so you keep going back to number 12, leading the charge in defense of a championship, and that gives the Bucs a big leg up in terms of this quest. They have Brady, and nobody else has Brady. I don't think we can talk about enough.
You take Brady off this team, they don't win. They probably don't get in the playoffs, much less not win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I fully agree with you there, Ira, about Brady. Real quick about the 2003 Bucks. If I recall correctly, didn't they have some really critical injuries? Lynch got hurt. Allstott got hurt. Joe Jerovicius got hurt. Keenan McCardle sat out, if I recall correctly. So it wasn't like they were really bad. It's just a lot of misfortune.
There was some bad blood, too, because
Keyshawn, yeah.
The coach and the GM weren't speaking. Steve knows that. And probably the wide receiver and the coach weren't speaking. So, yeah, there was some bad chemistry going on, Steve.
They choked. However you spin it, they should have been better than 7-9. And as we sit here today, it's completely unthinkable that these Bucks would be 7-9. And it was And if we transport ourselves back to the moment that the Bucks, you know, dominated the Eagles in their new stadium. I mean, nobody thought that team would finish out 6-9. No excuses. They just sucked. And it was, as you said, Ira, the next year they completely fell apart, but they bounced back. So credit to the 05 Chucky world. Sage, a couple of nuggets. I know this is going to ruffle you a little bit. I wrote it on Joe Bucks Fan earlier today. But of the assistant coaches that I talked to, you know, off the record, not no tape recorder out at the White House and some of the buzz around, Keyshawn Vaughn is a guy that they really, really are high on. That some people are buzzing that he's gonna really mix it up and be a guy who might take that big second-year leap. And also probably another nugget there's a lot of vibe that O.J. Howard is going to be raring to go. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing because of the injury he suffered. But he certainly looked like $1 million there. And as far as, you know, people talking, excited about O.J.
Two intriguing points, Steve. As far as Vaughn's concerned, I think his workload will increase, even though he's got a couple of good backs in front of him. No question about it. I said a couple of weeks ago, maybe I surprised both of you guys, but I did say Bruce Arians likes Vaughn. He mentions him a lot to me in our conversations. Every time I talk about Jones and Fournette and the battle, he always brings up Vaughn's name. So Vaughn has made an impression. I think his time, Lee, will be more 2022. That's just my opinion, barring injuries. As far as Howard's concerned, Steve, your timing's impeccable, as usual. Did a Zoom call with Derek Brooks today. Did two segments. One of them was a little preview of training camp. And Brooks was all over O.J. Howard. He mentioned him specifically. He could have mentioned a lot of guys. Brooks is very curious. Now, look, Lee, the backdrop is this is last chance saloon for O.J. Howard. If he finishes the year with 27 catches, you know, for 400 yards and four touchdowns, they're not bringing him back. And nobody would complain if they didn't. This is his chance. Now, look, he's got Gronkowski. You know, Brate's a good number two. But these guys can't do what Howard can do. In theory, Lee, potential, Lee, and you said it many times, potential means you ain't done it, Lee. You ain't done it. But Brooks is of the opinion, and so is Jimmy Giles. You've heard me bring up Giles many times in connection with O.J. Howard. Giles looks at O.J. Howard and says, what a specimen. What a specimen. What the natural abilities, the size, the speed. But he hasn't putting it together, Lee. He hasn't. He played four games. He caught two touchdown passes. Maybe showed Brady a little something. But we're not talking about four games. We're talking about a full season. He's got to stay healthy, Lee. You know, you're the guy that always says the Parcells line about durability.
Your best ability is your availability.
At this point, and I know it sounds a little harsh, you might not agree, he looks more like a talent than a football player. So I'm not rooting against O.J. Howard. He'll have a heck of a opportunity here. But Brooks thinks he can be a game breaker. And who am I to argue with Derek Brooks?
Oh, sure. And I fully agree with you. We've been talking about O.J. Howard since he was drafted. He could be this, he could be that. Could is, after a while, could, the better use of the word could is should. You know, it could have been, should have been. But here's something on O.J. Howard that jumped out at me last night. After you and I departed from Tampa International Airport. By the way, Ivory, you were talking about you have some bad days once in a while. One of those was you're sitting next to me in the Vegas airport. That was one of your bad days. So, but anyway, you know, after you and I kind of waved goodbye, after we got our luggage and hit the parking garage, I was up. I was literally up till 5:30 this morning. You know, doing research and writing stories. And one of the things I came across, I was going through Football Outsiders 2021 Almanac, and they had a little nugget that in the 3.5 games that O.J. Howard played last year, Tom Brady targeted him 19 times. I'm thinking, wait a minute, that seems high. So I started going through his game logs, O.J. Howard's game logs. O.J. Howard has never been targeted 19 times in four games, his first four games of the season. Never. And not by the coach who stomped his feet to draft him, not by Arians, not by Jameis. Tom Brady, allegedly a guy who didn't know the playbook, who was playing on one leg, targeted O.J. Howard 19 times in four games.
Nice.
Made me think there might be something there. But, you know, these Achilles, you know, it wasn't that long ago, Achilles heels injuries, those were career enders. These things are not like hamstrings. Now, of course, with modern medicine, modern technology, players have been able to come back much better off of an Achilles injury than they have, let's say, 10 years ago. But it's still a major injury. So I don't, you know, and of course, Howard didn't practice whatsoever during underwear football. He ran on the side on one of the side fields he was working out, but he didn't have a helmet on. He wasn't on the practice field during underwear football. So, yeah, I'm still a little bit leery about that Achilles injury and how he can bounce back from it. But it was, to me, it was very interesting. Of all people, the guy who targeted O.J. Howard the most was a guy who allegedly didn't know the playbook.
Nice research, the Kemper.
What I'll say to that is that also eerily times with Rob Gronkowski not being ready physically to play. I mean, he was rusty and not ready to be a passing tight end. That was the time where he was joking about how he's a blocking tight end. I don't know if that would happen again, Lee, if Gronkowski is healthy like he was, you know, through really the last 10 games and into the playoffs. But it is an interesting number. And regardless, if Brady didn't want to throw to OJ, if he didn't have that comfort, he would have gone to somebody else.
Hey, Steve, I got a question for you, Steve.
No.
On your White House visit and Isbeth, you don't miss much, Steve. You're very observant. Steve, watching some of the videos, of course, you were there up close and personal. I'm curious, Steve, did you notice either in the body language or where the guy was positioning himself, Devin White, in terms of sort of putting himself front and center? And I just think that this guy's taking over this defense literally and figuratively. Did you notice anything about Devin White, about where he was at certain times front and center yesterday, Steve?
I'll say this, Ira, that White, if I had to gauge, and I made a note of this on the website, White led the team in smiles yesterday. I mean, he could not stop smiling at the White House. Todd Bowles, ironically, I'd give number two. I mean, both of them just seem so just over the moon, happy and excited. But White positioned himself behind the Lombardi Trophy. It seemed like he wanted, when they were lining up, he wanted to stand right behind the Lombardi Trophy. And that happened to be front and center. So, or it was off to the right side of the podium. So I'll say that. Beyond that, I don't know. But he was certainly being Devin White, which is talking nonstop and smiling nonstop. Now, you know, you get that feeling that obviously the guys like him and they respect his energy. And beyond that, I don't know. I mean, Levante David was not there. Mike Evans, other guys. But, White, he likes the spotlight, and I think every team needs a guy like that because the Bucks are going to have plenty of spotlight. And, gosh, if Devin White didn't like the spotlight, then more of it would go on Levante David, which David doesn't really want. So it's a nice balance.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying, Lee, is he wants to be the man.
Yeah.
And Lee, as you pointed out, the 3 games after the COVID, the guy was a one-man wrecking crew.
Oh, my gosh.
So he does more than just talk the talk. You know, sometimes half the job of being a leader is embracing the role. And this guy wants to do it. And it's not like, he's not surrounded by some other guys like JPP. Sue's been around the block, certainly, a few times. Now, Levante was not there at the White House. But, more and more, Lee, I think it's fair to say Devin White sets the tone for this defense.
I don't know how to respond to that. They have so many good players. I what do you mean exactly by set the tone?
Verbally. You've seen him on the sidelines. He's a big talker. Lee.
I'm not. That's one of those things I think is I don't want to use the word nonsense, but you can wolf all you want. It's all about play on the field. So,
well, he's got both. He's got both.
Yeah, and, wolfing is not natural. I put zero stock into it.
Well, I think his enthusiasm is infectious on his in terms of
now that I like enthusiasm. Yeah, that I like.
His hustle to the ball.
Oh my gosh,
which is fantastic. And
if he plays like he did in the playoffs, this guy is. You're going to be voting for him for the Hall. You're going to have to brush up your speech for Devin White. You're going to have to do an induction speech for him.
Steve, when Light drafted White, what was he, fourth overall? Steve, fifth overall.
Yeah.
Didn't Light spend a lot of time talking about White's leadership skills at LSU? I believe he did.
Ira, every guy that drafted that high, they always talk about that. But you got to see it. And we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it. He embraces it, like you said. He's got both. He's got the energy, the talent, the production, and the big mouth. And it's a nice balance for teams are looking for that balance. You can't have every guy being the same personality. So, I mean, he is embracing it, Ira. He is looking for it. I don't think anybody's standing in his way. There's nobody else who's looking for it on that scale. And it's just a question in my mind is, how are offenses going to adjust? What do they really believe that Devin White can do in coverage consistently? How are they going to try to take advantage of what the Bucks do? And now, of course, with the Bucks at the top of the heap, every team is trying to adjust to beat the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are in a position now where they're drafting players and signing players to beat the Bucks. It's like the Bucks were always trying to adjust to the Saints or the Falcons. Oh, we're going to draft Mark Barron to cover Tony Gonzalez, and we're going to do this to try to stop Drew Brees and all this stuff. Now it's teams adjusting to the Bucks, and White's going to have to adjust as a third-year player to the things that come down the line here. But I think everybody knows he's got the talent to do it. I think the one thing that really most interests me, Ira, as we get toward the season, and we won't see it till opening day, and opening day is interesting because it's Ezekiel Elliott coming off, a season that a lot of running backs would have liked with 4 yards a carry and 900-something yards with a crappy quarterback in place most of the year. But who's going to run on the Bucks for a third year in a row and try that? Are you going to try again to run on the Bucks after they've stopped everybody for 2 years? Or are you going to have a totally different look from offenses? And, there's going to be a lot to adjust to, I think. So I don't know.
That's a great point, Steve. And at the same time, we've got two of the great backs in the NFL, two of the top five, however you want to rank them, happen to be in the division in terms of Kamara and McCaffrey. And I believe Kamara scored some touchdowns against the Bucs last year. He did. You're not going to totally shut down the guy, but he didn't run on him. He didn't run on him. And we know about McCaffrey. I think Devin White takes special pride in putting this guy on his ass, and he does it all the time. Lee, you saw that video last year. Didn't McCaffrey get up from a tackle and say, "You're the best, man. You are the best."
And then Devin White said, "I know it."
And then Devin White went back to the sideline. Lee told one of his teammates, "Hey, McCaffrey just called me the best." I mean, that's classic. That's classic.
Wait, did you hear what Kyle Brandt said this morning about Devin White on Good Morning Football?
I did not.
If he ever runs for president, he'll win in a landslide.
He's so likable. He is so likable.
Well, here's why. It has nothing to do with likability. Here's why Kyle Brandt said he'll win. You can't run against him.
he is a heat-seeking missile. And
Ira, when I hear heat-seeking missile, I think Mustang Roush at Bill Curry Ford. If you want to let it out, if you want to get on I-75, get yourself a Mustang Roush and speed limit be damned. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying, Ira. There's a lot of ways to drive a great Ford, and they're all at Bill Curry Ford. GM Sean Sullivan, ready personally to take care of everyone. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Stock up, try it now, find your favorite. Maybe that's the Palm Bender IPA, but you want to know exactly what you want to have for your opening night party if you're not going to Raymond James Stadium. And as we heard earlier, Ira, Florida's elite restoration. You got a disaster, that's who you call, period, 24/7. They'll be out to help you. Find out more at floridaselite-restoration.com. Licensed mold remediation specialists. Ira, I'm cutting you off. You wrote a nice column. Uh-oh. You wrote a nice column. You're on the Buccaneers getting their rings on Thursday night. It's closed off to media, so you're not getting in there, although you can still try, Ira. You can still try. And then they got to come back in a couple of days. They got to report for physicals on Saturday, practice on Sunday. Ira, I'm going to let you address Bucks fans. Take us right out of here. Take a deep breath. Talk to the people.
This is the best team in football, people. I want you to understand that going in, barring injury, I see no reason why the Bucks should not have the best record in the National Football League. Soft schedule, people. Soft schedule, great personnel, outstanding coaching. Tom Brady, add it all up, guys. Add it all up. Soak it in. Enjoy it, guys. Enjoy it. Every team's fan base is jealous of Buck fans. Every one of them. And don't let up. Kick ass. And it all starts Sunday at the facility. And I will be there to report it all.